complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us, to make himself known through the power of his holy word. And ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the chapter we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and the first verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. This first verse of the third chapter of the book of the Ecclesiastes. Dear friends, last Friday there was the funeral service of that young man who was a nephew, cousin, close friend of those amongst us here this morning. And it's a very solemn season for the family of those who've lost a dear one. Those things occur in our lives from time to time in their different forms, which suddenly make us stop. Stop in the way we were expecting to continue and carry on in our daily lives. In the book of Psalms, we often find that little word, Selah. S-E-L-A-H, which means pause, consider. And as that appears many times in the book of Psalms, dear friends, so it may well be a word appropriate to us in our daily lives many times. Things suddenly come, unexpectedly, affect us solemnly, grievously, concernedly, with many fears, whatever they be. And we need a Selah. Pause. Consider these things. And dear friends, as we pause, while we consider even this word we've got as our text, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Isn't it last Lord's Day that in the afternoon we read in Lamentations chapter 3, and we have that verse, who saith that it shall come? Who is he that saith and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Dear friends, those are solemn words. Surely as we consider these things, should they not bring us into the tender fear of God? He who was almighty, he who causeth it to come, he speaks and it is done, whatever be of his sovereign will and purpose. Well, we find it a couple of times in the book of Job, don't we, in that solemn account of the trouble and the distress of poor Job. He said, he performeth the thing, God performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. And a little bit later, Elihu, in answer to Job and his friends, concerning the Lord's hand in the things of this world, especially in the environment, the weather, he causeth it to come. Whether for correction, for his land, or for mercy. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And Solomon, given the wisdom that God gave him, continues a time to be born and a time to die. Dear friends, all of us have been born. We're here this morning. It didn't happen by chance. It was appointed by God. All things are appointed by him. The breath of our body is in his hand. When we were born, he appointed us to live, to breathe, to exist, to grow, to be as we are this day. Our times are in his hand. All things are at his command. We sing it, don't we, in hymn 64. Oh, dear friends, how these things should make us fear before God as to what he hath appointed us to be born for in this day, in this place, this country. Knowing that the time will come, one day, when our breath will cease and we shall be carried into eternity. Our flesh will be ashes to ashes, dust to dust, as we've read. The spirit returned to God who gave it. And we know not when that time will come. We have experienced, don't we, for some it comes suddenly. Unexpectedly. For others, or perhaps in a very old age, they linger day by day, week by week, month by month, hardly able to communicate, hardly able to breathe, hardly able to eat and drink, and they continue. We wonder why. Dear friends, all is in the Lord's time, all is in the Lord's hand. Who can tell what the Lord does in those last moments for those that linger for the blessing of their souls? To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. And between those two times, Solomon lists quite a good number of things that are likely to come to pass. And they're opposites, aren't they? Some things we might say are good, some things are bad. As we read there in Lamentations, evil and good. As Job said to his wife, shall we not at the Lord's hand receive good and evil? Dear friends, under the Lord's hand to his people, they all work together for good. We cannot work these things out together for good. We cannot even reason them in our minds together for good. When pain comes upon us, we have fear. What is the sickness of our bodies? Dear friends, how it makes us tremble, doesn't it? We're often given to feeling the worst, aren't we? Yes, to fear death. But dear friends, do these things bring us to prayer? Do these things bring us to commit our way unto the Lord? Do they not cause us to cry for his mercy? They should. Because we do not deserve the least of his mercies because of our sins. And dear friends, it's a mercy if the Lord teaches us our sins. And then when these other times come, times of greater, say, prosperity, times of things which go well for us, then now we should pour out our hearts still in prayer before Him, in thanksgiving. Dear friends, that's living in the fear of the Lord. Mindful of His very being, honouring that He hath a disputed right to govern me and mine. That's not our heart by nature, is it? Our heart by nature says we want our own way. We will not have this man to rule over us. And dear friends, He looks upon our hearts. God knows our hearts. He knows how sinful they are. And we cannot break our hard hearts ourselves to make them submissive to the will of God. But with everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Oh dear friends, what a great thing it will be when the season of repentance comes upon us, the purpose that we should be saved by His grace. It's the Lord's doing. It'll be marvellous in our eyes. And this is, dear friends, what we're to seek first and foremost, isn't it? To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not our own. And all things shall be added unto us as we have need of. Yes, we shall need solemn things in our lives to keep us in the right way, dependent upon God. And we shall need those things which He knows we have need of for continuation upon this earth, for His honour and glory, to be a witness that He is God. And we're to live to the glory of His name. Oh, the Lord knoweth what we have need of before we ask. But dear friends, at times very solemn things come, don't they? As I mentioned concerning the loss of a young man to his family and to his friends. What can be the purpose of that? To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. Taken, as we might say, in the prime of life. One who, very healthy, strong, youth with all youthful endeavours, earthly vigour and desires of prosperity, and so on as we go, as we all are in our earthly youth. And yet suddenly taken by that terrible event which terminated his life. What good can come from that? We will say, yes, it's an evil event. Well, dear friends, there are perhaps two things what came to my mind. There's probably more than that, but there's certainly two. Firstly, the good of his soul. You know, when we're growing up, as we've all grown up, some of us are adults, and some of you growing up through teenage years into adulthood. Dear friends, in our youth we think of all what we're going to do in this world, our earthly endeavours, and we don't think much beyond that, do we? Oh, we want to get on well, we want to have riches, we want to have honour, we want to have esteem, we want to have authority over this and control that, and so on and so forth. And dear friends, regarding the things of God, our hearts can be very hard. And prayerful, praying parents, those who fear God, will pray for their children. They will see exactly as they are. And they will pray for them. The Lord will watch over them day by day, that he may call them by grace, that he will lead them forth by the right way, and, oh, be the saviour of their souls, bring them to where they submit. No doubt prayer was much put up for the young man who is now in eternity. But dear friends, what a way those prayers were answered. You know, we see that the Lord did not take away his life immediately on that terrible event, although he was so severely injured. He lingered for 4 days or maybe 7. Oh, what prayer. What prayer was put up for him. You know, dear friends, when life is given and such earnest prayer is indicted by the Lord will surely hear. For the blessing of the soul for which he was prayed for. There's no doubt about that. And dear friends, the life of the soul is greater than the life of existence in prosperity upon this earth. Dear friends, it wasn't just prayer of the family, was it? It was prayer on a vast, wide area of this land, maybe overseas. There was united prayer. There was coming together. Yes, using technology I know of today, but what a blessing that was. I remember many years ago, a young man who was very, very ill and threatening to have his life taken from him because of the sickness, the disease he had. I didn't really know the young man. I knew of him. But all the prayer that was, the spirit of prayer that was seemed to be given, me and many others, to commit him to the Lord. You know, dear friends, that young man, he recovered. And he was left, not as that disease could have left him, with mental disability. But he was completely healed and can maintain great intelligence. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. He brings it to pass. To everything there's a season, a time, to every purpose under the heaven. And dear friends, for the blessing, yes, of his people, even the salvation of the soul. Was that not the case with young Joshua Jemison? Perhaps no, he wasn't living in the fear of the Lord. Perhaps the fear of the Lord was not before him in his heart and mind at all. But dear friends, like those we read of in the scripture who carried that one sick of the palsy to the feet of Jesus. He who could not get there himself, the Lord had mercy upon him. They were constrained. And so, dear friends, we find this constraining, don't we, by the Lord, of many in prayer to come earnestly to pray. Ours is an urgent, pressing case. Do not turn away thy face. So, dear friends, there is hope. Hope for the blessing of that soul in those last days, those last moments. We read of one, don't we, who was able to pray for himself in the agony of his last few moments of life. That thief who was crucified by the side of Jesus. You know, dear friends, crucifixion was left for those of the greatest crimes. So what the crimes were of that thief, as he's described, at the side of Jesus, a transgressor, we know not. But dear friends, in those last moments, he prayed. He was given faith to behold Jesus. And he prayed for the power of that shed blood. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He could see through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was power to save him from his just desert. Oh, we sometimes sing, don't we, the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need as that faith did. Welcome to the throne of grace. Christ didn't cast him away. The Saviour's blood to plead. Dear friends, the Saviour's blood was pleaded, wasn't there, for this young man now taken? And can such prayers be turned away through the deafness of God's ear? No. He's a merciful, kind and gracious God. Not to call the righteous, sinners to repentance. Who can tell through those prayers what took place in the heart and soul of that young man, prepared for eternal life through the mercy of God? To everything there's a season, a time of every purpose under heaven won, to be saved by grace. Now the secondly, for what purpose could such a solemn event be? Came to me, dear friends, on Friday was a verse we find in Isaiah chapter 43. And I think it's verse 4. It's a sweet chapter, Isaiah 43. Verse 4 says this: since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. I will give men for thee, and people for thy life. Dear friends, the giving of the life of this one who's been taken so solemnly, oh, can it be for the life of many others? His death be used by the Spirit of God for the quickening of souls that are yet dead in trespasses and in sins, to consider their ways, to turn them a complete from just 100% looking upon this earth for all that is of their life, to realise there's something beyond that which is of this earth. There is that which is of eternity, the things of God, and the need to believe in Jesus for the saving of their souls. I will give men for thee, and people for thy life. You know, some years ago I was speaking to one, and as a young man he was very keen on motor racing, Formula One motor racing, and he had a particular driver who was really his idol. And whenever there was this motor racing, and this driver was driving, he would endeavour to be there at the race. There came an occasion when that driver was killed in a terrible racing accident. And it was used to quicken him from his idolatry, from his love alone of the things of this world, and that which was of the lusts of his flesh and the pride of this life. If that had have been him, yes, as driving home as he had to then from that race, where would he be in eternity? It was a work of grace which was begun in his heart. That young man's now a minister of the gospel. Oh, who can tell how the Lord will work, what he will use for the calling of his people? To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under the heaven. I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Oh, may the Lord, and we must pray that it will be so, as we prayed for the soul of that young man, now we pray for those even those in the car that were with him and and continue, that this solemn event may be for the blessing through God in mercy upon their soul and for others, friends and family, whoever it may be. At the end of the hymn sheet of that funeral service was this text, the words of Jesus: "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." What I do is thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. May this be one of those hereafters. Many who can come into the knowledge of their dependence upon the shed blood of Christ for their sins, looking back to the beginning of that quickening power of this solemn event. To everything there is a season, a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Dear friends, these are things that are very solemn, aren't they? But it doesn't mean we're to live our lives in a morbid way. It doesn't mean we're to live our lives all completely cast down. And no, we've read, haven't we, that amidst all the changing scenes of our life, all these things which may come upon us, all our experiences, some of these extremes, good and bad, evil, we're still to labour and to work. We have to do those things which are for the good of our bodies and so on, and for loved ones, our responsibilities, our duties. But to do them in the fear of God. To ever acknowledge his hand in all our ways. Oh, what did we read? "I know that there is no good in them," that's in us, in all the people. Oh, we're all sinners, verse 12, "but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labour, it is the gift of God," it's the gift of God. You see, his hand is ever there upon us. Our times are in his hand. And that which he grants us, as we have done today, all our lives, the supply of our need. Oh, to give thanks unto God for it. It was a solemn word, wasn't it, to Israel when they came into the promised land. And God warned them that they should say, "By our own power have we got ourselves all this might." When it was only through the Lord's gracious and merciful hand upon them that supplied their need, delivered them from their enemies, and had not rewarded them according to their sins. We have much to be thankful for, don't we? Let us not forget thanksgiving, that he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He has given us intelligence and ability to be as we are this day. "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him." I read that portion at the end of Ecclesiastes. Oh, how relevant it is to young and to us who are older. "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth." We have another word, don't we, very similar. Live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. We're to live together in families and children and individually if we don't get married, but whatever our circumstances before we are married. "Rejoice, O young man, and O young woman, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. Yes, we've got our earthly being, haven't we? And there are those aims, there's those decisions we make, there's those expectations, those careers, and so forth. And we're to pursue them, we must pursue them. Yes, our hearts devise our way. But oh, for the Lord to direct our steps. Solomon very solemnly goes on in that verse 9 of chapter 11. But know thou that for all these things, walking in your ways, in your own heart, into your heart cheer thee, seek those things that can bring you some physical enjoyments under the permitted will of God. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. God will bring thee into judgment. So as we live our lives, we grow up into adulthood, and in adulthood, God's eye is upon us. He knows all things. Thou, God, seest me. All those evil things we welter in our hearts, he knows, even though we may not bring them to practice. God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, or anger, as the margin said. Put away evil from thy flesh. Dear friends, there's many things to be enjoyed in this life which are not evil, they're good. We should keep ourselves from evil. God's word should be of the lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. For childhood and youth are vanity. What does that word vanity mean? It means in all what we do, in all our desires and all our longings, it won't carry us to any blessed eternity. No, the word vanity in the Hebrew also has a meaning, or has an underlying meaning, of transgressing, departing from the right way. A way which is right before God. Oh, how he can bring us, can't, into idolatry. How he can bring us into covetousness, which is idolatry. The love of all these earthly things. Well, we're to live our lives in the fear of the Lord, seeking to do what is right in his sight, and enjoying the things that he permits us to have, and to give us thanksgiving for all these things. And that first chapter 12, first verse, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come not. While the evil days come not. As we grow, yes, days do seem to get worse. And Solomon here, in his pictorial language, describes older age, the weakness of the body. The grinding, that's what reminds of the teeth, doesn't it? The windows, your eyes, and things begin to fail. Until that day comes when the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. A time to be born, a time to die, a time for all these things between, and we know not when the end will come. But the spirit, our spirit, shall return unto God who gave it. Oh, what is our spirit? Is it ruled by the Spirit of God? Do we know the testimony of the Spirit of Jesus Christ as the Saviour of our soul, he who died on Calvary's cross, bearing our sins? Oh, that will humble us. Cause us to seek to walk in his ways and do that which is right in his sight. And where that good work, dear friends, has begun in us, then when that spirit returns unto God who gave it, it'll be a blessed rejoicing, won't it? A rejoicing far above all the rejoicings we can have upon this earth. Come, thou blessed of the Father, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Until then, there's much prayer, isn't there? to commit our way unto the Lord, to trust also in him. Him to bring to pass what is for our good, yes, upon this earth and spiritually, for life eternal. As you often hear me say that prayer of David, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, that'll be a glorious season, won't it? The season here upon this earth, looking unto Jesus, walking in his tender fear. Times of trouble, times of joy, times of evil, as we might say, these things which make us stop and consider. Oh, the Lord knows what we have need of. But he is in control. He will guide. He will lead his people, and not one of them shall be lost. Just read that last verse of that lovely well-known poem which is on the back of the hymn sheet concerning the weaver. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skilful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. You know, I'm sure those that are Christ's, for whom he died, when they come to that glorious place of the entrance into eternity, they will confess that Jesus has done all things well. Times of sorrow, times of grief, as well as times of love and the times of pleasures. All things work together for good. And dear friends, I leave you with that word I often quote in Psalm 62. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah, Selah. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. And blessed be our God, who saves our soul from death, destruction, and despair. Amen.